Hey everyone, welcome back to the Homestead Challenge podcast. I am so excited. I have my friend Caitlin of Homegrown Hopes here with us today. And I don't often bring guests on, but I do when they really have a topic to talk about that I am not very good at. Welcome to the Homestead Challenge podcast, where we will finally figure out how to make homesteading work in this modern world. I'm your host, Brittany, kind of crunchy mom and fellow modern homesteader. I've walked the path you're on, navigating burnout, overwhelm, information overload, serious lack of time, and uncertainty of where to even start. But I've also discovered a way to integrate homesteading into my modern busy life. If you're itching to kick off your homesteading journey on your terms, you're in the right spot. In each episode of this podcast, I'll be dishing out quick and straightforward homesteading tips, sharing home management systems, and providing modern solutions that fit seamlessly into your suburban lifestyle. Ready to turn your homesteading goals into a reality? Join me, and together we'll navigate the world of homesteading in a way that suits our lives. So grab that sourdough starter from the back of your fridge, girl. It's time to rise. So today, we're going to talk about the importance of local community. And this is something that I am looking to incorporate into my life here. I think it's like going to be all the rage in 2024 and moving on. I really do, because we can get only so much from our online connections, which I still love an online community very much. But I think that going back to local and in-person events is going to be the way of the future. So I have Caitlin here to talk to you about that today. Caitlin, can you share a little bit about your personal homesteading journey, and maybe about what you're doing in your local community?
Yes. Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here. I've been listening to your podcast and I'm so impressed. I've really enjoyed it. So I'm honored to be on here today. I am a mom of two, live in Western North Carolina in the foothills, and we have a small homestead. You know, whatever that is, we'll talk about that today. And we grow some of our own food, raise some of our own animals. And then also I share that online. I have a blog, and through all of that, I kind of share a peek behind the curtain of what's really happening. I feel like a lot of times we see the highlight reel of things. And so I try to be a little bit more real about what's really happening, because it's not always glamorous. And just kind of enjoy, I feel like so often we are ready to do the next thing and we have to check this off of the list, whatever list is in our minds. And so I try to put some emphasis on actually enjoying the journey and enjoying the learning and the growing that happens along the way. So I'll give you a little bit of background on my homestead.
Please do.
Yes. So my husband and I have been married for almost 13 years, and we've kind of dabbled in gardening every single place that we've lived. Both of our families always had backyard gardens. And so when we got married, we have just always had something. We moved around a lot when we were first married for his job. So whether it was, you know, tomato plants in a container garden, or raised beds, in-ground gardens, we had a little bit of everything. We just kind of adapted to wherever we were. And then, like I think it happens for a lot of people, when our first son was born, we were like, we've got to get serious about this. We've got to grow everything. And we have to do it all. And everything has to be organic. And, you know, we kind of jumped off the deep end.
Everyone on Instagram probably told you that you had to do all those things.
Well, I don't even know that I had Instagram back then, but Pinterest.
Oh,
told me. Mm-hmm. Pinterest told me this is what I should do, and I listened. So we jumped all in, and we decided not only were we going to grow food for ourselves and our son, you know, so I can make my own baby food and all that stuff, but we were going to do it on a larger scale, and we were going to grow for production and sales. So we sold at our local farmers market, and that lasted for one season. One season, because working full-time and farming full-time is no joke. It was me and my husband and my brother-in-law, his brother. And it was, you know, we all worked full-time, had a newborn. And so I really did more, you know, I would be there on Saturday mornings, but I would roll in a little bit later with the baby and I would do more of the back end stuff. I was doing marketing because even then, you know, you have to market yourself, even if you're going to be at the farmer's market. That goes out. That's one of the things in homesteading they don't tell you about. If you're making money, you got to put yourself out there.
Seriously.
Yeah, constantly. That's, you don't just get to grow tomatoes. So I was doing some of the marketing stuff, and then they would work their normal 40-hour a week jobs. And on Friday nights, they were picking everything really late to make sure it was as fresh as it could be, washing everything, and then, you know, out before the sun was up Saturday morning. So it looks really glamorous, and we enjoyed that season thoroughly, but it was a short-lived season because it was just too much.
A little bit of burnout there.
Yes, definitely. So we scaled back and we went back to just kind of growing what fit our family's needs and our lifestyle. And at that time, I started to shift and start sharing my experiences online. I have a blog that's a little bit over a decade old, and I share, you know, scratch cooking recipes and gardening tips and how to clip your chicken's wings, a little bit of everything. And because it is so multifaceted, this lifestyle. And so I shifted to sharing online, and that has, you know, evolved into YouTube and podcasts and all of the things. But at 1 year that we sold at our farmer's market and we got really connected with our local growers and our local farmers, that just had such an impact on me. I looked so forward to my Saturday mornings where people were sharing recipes and they were saying, oh, well, yeah, my cucumbers didn't do last year either, and this is what I did, and so-and-so said they tried this, and I just love that. And you do get that online, but just not in the same capacity. And so that stuck with me.
Now, that's also super helpful just with gardening, because there's people in your area that have, like, you can be in the same zone as somebody else, but if they're not in the foothills, it's right. Probably totally different.
It is. So, it is. Yeah. It's completely different. So that just really stuck with me, that community aspect. I love my Saturday mornings going there. And in fact, through the farmer's market days, I met one of my best friends, and we're still friends today. And so her family has a local farm where they sell the meat they've raised, and they have an agritourism farm. And so she kind of, you know, has the dream about having this lifestyle also. And so fast forward to last year, 2023, she and I attended a really large-scale homesteading conference near us. And it was very interesting. I am not going to dog anything ever. I love anytime someone puts out information and education. But it was so big. And there just felt like there was a disconnect. When she and I were walking around, we were so excited. We had no kids that day. We had a coffee in one hand, a kombucha in the other, not at the same time, but, you know, and so we were out momming it, homestead momming it, you know.
Love it.
It's a different kind of outing. So we were there and we, you know, attended a few of the workshops, and we just felt like it scratched the surface. And so I had this little dream in the back of my mind. I have a lot of those, so I don't always voice them out loud. And I had this little dream, and I said it to her because she's one of those friends that I can say things like that to. She is kind of a dreamer too, and she goes for it. So I said, you know, I think that it would just be so neat to, like, host workshops and really get hands-on with stuff like this. I've always thought that. My family has a farm, but we don't really have a facility to host things like that. And she does. And so I said, you know, I've just always dreamed of doing something. I think it would be neat. And she is the kind of friend that you need, because she's like, let's do it. Let's do it. I'm like, are you serious? So we ended up leaving from there, and just, it has evolved, and we never stopped talking about that dream. And now we are in May of this year, 2024, we're hosting our first Homesteaders Conference. So a little dream is becoming a reality, and we are very anxiously excited to see how it turns out.
I am so excited for you with this. For anybody who might be local to you or who isn't local but wants to come join something so cool, could you tell us a little about where they can find all the information on dates, times, where to stay?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's called the Holistic Homestead Conference, and even the name has, you know, a special meaning. So my friend Mandy, who is the co-host, she is a registered dietitian, and she has a focus on functional nutrition. So when we talked about the kind of classes and workshops and things that we wanted to have, we really wanted it to be a holistic approach, hence the name. So we're actually going to have a functional medicine doctor there. We're going to have people there who are hands-on teaching you how to propagate plants, how to butcher rabbits. And, you know, they have these classes at other conferences also. And one thing that we really wanted to put a focus on is we want it to be interactive. We don't want you to just come and watch and take notes. We want you to actually jump in. So my brother-in-law is actually teaching a chicken butchering. And he was like, so how hands-on are we talking here? I was like, you show them one and then you ask them if they want to come join in. And so he's like, okay, I can do that. You know, so it's very, very hands-on. It's going to be Saturday, May 18th. It is here in Morganton, North Carolina. We're in the foothills kind of between Hickory and Asheville. If you're a North Carolina person, you may know that. About an hour outside of Asheville, North Carolina. And about an hour outside of Charlotte. So kind of central western. It's going to be at her family farm. It's called Henry River Farms. She has a great setup. Beautiful location. It's going to be outside. We do have barns and covered areas for that. We're going to have vendors there. And it's not just going to be, I know, please come. It's a business trip, right? You probably need to come check it out.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're going to have vendors who are actually applicable to things that homesteaders would want to buy. So there's going to be people selling plant starts, hopefully selling animals. We're working on that, but just we're going to have a sourdough workshop and those supplies there. So we want you to come and learn and try it hands on and then buy what you need there and go home. Because so often we get excited and we're like, well, I got to get this. And then this, just get it all one stop. And then we're also going to have a farm to table lunch. We have a really incredible local chef who is going to be preparing a hog that they have raised on the farm. Does not get any fresher than that. So it's going to be a fun event, I think. But you can check it out at holistichomesteadconference.com and you can purchase tickets there also.
So cool. So excited.
I'm very excited. I could talk about it all day. So we'll...
Yeah. No. So I asked you a couple questions in advance. We'll probably have to skip around a little bit for time's sake. But I want to get into... So something that you said, I think it was on your first episode, you said that you were not into self-sufficiency. You were here for community sufficiency. And that's just stuck with me ever since you said it. I love it so much.
Yeah.
So for those of us who are feeling this kind of longing for maybe more community or whatnot, how do you define community sufficiency and how are you integrating it into your homesteading? How does it integrate into homesteading in general? Talk about the topic.
Okay. So to me, I think that the term self-sufficient gets thrown around so much. It's just like, kind of like to me, homestead does a little bit. That's just like the it word right now. I know I shouldn't say that since I have a homestead podcast, but it is. And so I think there it's just such a gray area. So people think I want to be self-sufficient. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean that like you're growing your own wheat and harvesting the berries and milling that and then making a loaf of bread? Because that's self-sufficient. That's not relying on the chain, you know? I'm not doing that. I know when the world came to an end a few years ago, I remember telling my husband that we were going to have to. I was like, we're going to have to sow the bottom pasture in wheat. So I have come back to myself since then. Yeah. We did not sow the bottom pasture in wheat. He was like, let's just hold on and see what happens. I think we can still buy flour. But I mentioned in my first episode, honeybees was my example. We've had hives for several years. We are not good at it. I'm just going to lay it out there. That's one of those behind the curtain things. I think it takes like rocket science level of understanding to be a beekeeper. Everything I do is wrong. I have also, I'm scared of them. So it's my husband's job now. I've delegated that. I'm not self-sufficient. But I said, you know, does that mean that I'm never going to have honey again? No. I'm going to find a local source and I'm going to support them because that's what they do really well. So I think you can burn yourself out really quickly with this, like we did with the farmers market, if you try to do all of the things, because you can't. There is just no way that you can do it all. But if you surround yourself with a group of people who each have one little thing that they're good at, it really takes the pressure off and it allows you to support them. And it gives you more time to have the more time and energy to do the things that you enjoy. You know, I see all these jokes online about like, let's sell everything. All of our friends have moved to a commune. Like, let's just all move. Well, why does it have to be that extreme? Why can't you just create your own community, source, and, you know, make friends with people in your local area that are already doing that? And it can be a really thriving thing. I think it's, you know, it doesn't have to be so extreme.
Sure. I love that so much. And people, it's the same people that talk about self-sufficiency that always talk about going back to traditional ways. I'm like, how do you think they were doing it back then? Like, there was the butcher and the baker. Like, yeah. You don't ever hear that somebody was doing both of those things. We were all given different gifts and use them.
Absolutely. I think most people probably had a backyard vegetable garden, but, you know, they had someone running a grain mill and they, you know, they were all different jobs.
We don't like all have to have the grain mill running through the backyard.
And I love the system that they used. You know, they would barter for things back then. Love that. I have friends that I do that with now. I will give you a pound of this if you'll trade me a dozen of that. And that's such a beautiful thing.
That is beautiful. I would love to get into that. I'm definitely in an area it's suburban, but it's definitely more city than it is suburbs. I mean, it's still suburbs, but I don't know. I'm right outside of large cities. So definitely not all the people around me are feeling the same like vibes of the home setting, but there really are. And I'm so bad at getting out there and meeting people. And I think that the farmer's market is really the route that I need to go. I just moved here. So I haven't gotten to experience our local farmer's market during the season. There's like a sad one in the winter in Ohio. There's really
not
much.
We have one of those too.
In Ohio, there's really not much going on in the winter.
Oh, I can imagine.
But I really need to get out there because I so am longing for those connections. And I'm never one like I can see the gardens of that people have in my yard when we're doing walks. Like, I know that there's people doing the thing. I'm just like, never. I'm so shy. I'm so introverted. I'm never going to go out there. I think the farmer's market is my in, like you said.
Yes, that is a good way to stick your foot in the door, the gateway into your homesteading community. No, yes. I mean, it can be really hard. But one thing that I've noticed about people in this lifestyle, I've never met a farmer or a gardener, even a backyard gardener, who did not want to talk about what they're growing. Never come across it. I may find one this year, but I have never come across a person who, if you said, oh my goodness, I love that flower right there, they'll probably tell you the whole history on that flower and their great grandma they got it from, you know? So I think it's a very open and accepting community. Like you said, it's hard just to figure out to navigate your area.
Yes. So with the farmer's market, like do you have any other favorite ways that you recommend getting involved with the local community?
So farmer's market is definitely right up there because I think so much of this whole movement comes back to food. It is about food in general. Like if you bring it back to its most simple form, it's just a connection with where your food is coming from. So the farmer's market is a great place to start. You have people there who, have knowledge and not just talking to the people who are selling there, but making friends with the people who are buying. Because once you go a few Saturdays in a row, you're going to see the same people there every single time. It's like a little family. You're going to see the same people every single time. And it's just so easy to, you know, make a connection. Oh, I tried those last week. Those are really good. You know, it's a great place to start. Another thing that I really like is, I am part of a like bulk grocery order every month. It's called Azure Standard. And so basically you place an order online. It's like a health food store, but at discounted prices. So you place an order online and they have a local drop and they're all over the country. So if you don't know about it, you can go to azurestandard.com and find your local drop. But that's drawing in your homestead people. I can tell you, I've been with it for a couple of years now and I have met so many amazing people that I'm like, I would have never known that you lived in this town. I grew up here and you grew up here. And how do we not know each other?
I have a story with that. So I did it. I have not done Azure since we've moved, but I did it in Alabama. And the first I go like into this first drop ever. And the person's like, I've seen a picture of you online. Did you just have a home birth with so-and-so? And I was like, Okay, this world is wow. pretty tall.
Yeah. Oh man, how funny is that?
Mm-hmm. So you're very yeah. rich. You'll probably find yes. your people there.
You will find your people. If that is the community that you're seeking out, these are people who are buying garden starts, who are buying bulk items that they're not growing. They're not self-sufficient. They're not growing their own wheat, you know. But they source a really good option for that. And these are people, you know, in starting this homestead conference, we reached out to a lot of local people to see what talent we have here. We have some people who are coming in, but we really wanted to dig into the resources that we have here in Western North Carolina. And just in opening that door and seeking that out, there are people who do things that I have known them for years and didn't know that they did that because they're just doing it, not telling about it. So
it goes yeah. back to the homesteaders being bad at marketing.
Yeah. Yeah. We're out here just, you know, plowing up a field. We're not telling about it, but
yeah.
So Azure's a good option, farmers markets, your local cooperative extension is an invaluable resource. They have workshops every single month. They have master gardener programs. They have canning classes. I mean, if you are not sure, go on your local extension office website. They'll have an event page. They are so plugged into what's going on. They like ours has a spring plant sale. And it's plants that are specific to my zone here that they have tested. It's a beautiful thing. I don't have to think about that.
That's so true. Just, and I think that some people think that you have to live in like rural areas for this to be the case, but it's not. Like I need to look into this first of all for this area, but like I know for a fact that like Akron, Ohio, big city has all of these things too. So it does not matter where you live. You'll find farmers.
I think. Right. I think it's one of those things, like I said, once you start seeking that out and you're looking for it, it's kind of like, you know, if you're playing the car game and you're on red car, you'll see red cars everywhere now because you're looking for it. It's if you're seeking it out, you will find it. Mm-hmm. So your extension office is a great one. And then not to discount the big web of technology, but use local technology to your advantage. There are so many local homesteading pages. If you type in whatever your town is, homestead or farm or garden, you are going to be hit with so many resources. I'm in a couple of local plant groups and it's people trading plants. I love it. Even like house plants. They're like, oh yeah, this one has had babies or I've got 15 of them. Who wants to trade for this? And I mean, it's just incredible.
I need to join a plant one. I am yeah. in like, there's an Ohio homesteading group. And then from there, they created chats for each of the like Northeast Ohio is what you would say where I live. And there's chats and people just be like, oh, something just had babies. Do you want to buy these? And like,
yeah,
these people all live within like 10 minutes of us because it's amazing. I live in a highly populated area. So I'm like, wow, I didn't know that I could, I mean, I can't have goats here, but I could just go 10 minutes and buy them if I wanted to.
Right.
So that's really, really cool.
That's one of those things. Like if your dream was that you really wanted to be involved with goat farming, you just really love goats or goat milk or goat soap, whatever. I guarantee you, if you went to that farm that's 10 minutes away and said, could I just help you like a couple days a month? Could I just help you with whatever you need help with? They're going to take you up on it.
Yeah.
You don't have to own the goat and the farm and all of the things to be involved and learn how to do that.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Yeah. That's a good idea. I should definitely for my kiddos too, who would love to see a lot of that stuff. I think that connecting in that way yes. would be really cool.
We have a couple of farm schools that have popped up here. We're like one day a week, your kids come for a few hours. And I think it's so smart because I'm like, gosh, I see pictures of people having kids like cleaning out their horse stalls and filling up water buckets. I'm like, that's the stuff I hate doing. But when I was a kid, I can remember being like, please just let me clean your horse stall. I'll do yeah. one thing. Yeah, the new world off for me, but the kids still like this.
That's funny. So I'm popping around the questions that I asked you. So sorry about that.
But no, it's fine.
So I feel like we have a lot of the same kind of opinions on some of this stuff and how, you know, self-sufficiency gets thrown around a lot. But what are other like common misconceptions about homesteading that you think people have that you want to talk about?
Okay. So I think, and I've kind of touched on them a little bit, thinking that you have to do it all. it's probably one of the top ones for me. It's not possible to do every single thing. You will burn yourself out. I just don't think that you even need to try to do that, because that's not sustainable. The goal here is to have a sustainable living system. It is not sustainable to go 110 miles an hour all the time and try to do all the things. You will hate it. It will get to be a burden. So don't feel like you have to do all of the things. Outsource where you can. Another one is thinking that you have to have a huge amount of land, huge amount of acreage to live this lifestyle. I think that is the beauty of modern homesteading. You get to make it fit you. So I love all of the tips that you share, because your focus is suburban homesteading. And it's amazing the things that you can grow in the suburbs. I think that people often think, well, I don't have 20 acres and, you know, a plow and a tractor. You don't need all that. That's overcomplicating it. So I think you just need to decide what you want it to be for you.
Absolutely. And that's why people keep asking me all the different things that I'm going to grow. And I'm like, I'm not like actually growing everything. I kind of hate growing tomatoes. I don't know why. I had really bad luck in Alabama. I think because I was in like Southeast Alabama, who was just humid all the time. It was basically like the Everglades. So they just got like, is it blight? Is that what it's called?
I don't know. Well, so yeah, like
they were just sea. And yellow, just
horrible. Oh yeah.
So I'm probably have better luck here, but like relying on the community for those things will absolutely be imperative for me, because I don't want to do it.
I don't want to do it at all.
I want to grow all the weird herbs. That's what I'm really specializing in this year. So if anyone wants to come to me, I'll just be like the weird neighborhood medicine woman, hippie.
There you go. There is a need for that. You have met a need. No, I think that's so true. I don't grow everything. I mean, I think that people think that. I think people believe if you see someone, I have a blog and a YouTube channel telling you that I've done some things. I do not do them all the time. Like, I love growing garlic. This past year, I did not get it in the ground in time, and I really didn't have the space to do it. So I'm going to buy garlic this year. It'll be all right.
No. I can't believe you.
I failed. I failed. But I think that we believe, because we see people do it one time, that that's what they do all the time, and that's not the case. You know, you can find a family to support who does those things and does it really well. And then you can stay in your wheelhouse and do what you enjoy. So for you, it's going to be, you know, strange herbs. So focus on that, because that's where you find joy and you're good at it. But if you really want to learn those things, like I said, it's such an open community. Go talk to those people about it. And I guarantee you they'll welcome you with open arms, but you don't have to do that. And then I think that there's a couple more for me.
Go ahead.
Another misconception is thinking that you have to actually know what you're doing.
Mm.
Here's the secret. None of us really do. I don't anyway. I mean, there's certain things that, you know, with experience has come wisdom, but in general, it's trial and error. It's asking other people and just trying what they say to try.
Yes. And that really does rely on your local community too, because things just work different places. And then also, I think that with that, people online have gotten very rigid with rules on certain things.
Yes.
Especially like sourdough. And you just kind of like, you see all this stuff. And I think people forget to use their instincts sometimes. I'm like,
yes,
your sourdough starter looks too watery. Well, don't add water next time and just add flour. Like, right. Your sourdough looks too dry. So add more water.
Yeah. Well, like, I know. And I have a sourdough ebook coming out soon. Ooh. I am going to have to figure out how to make it sound professional, because I never measure anything. I do in a recipe, but when I'm feeding it, I'm like, yeah, a little bit more of that. That looks good. You know, and then, too much water.
There's intuitive cooking. Yep. Intuitive cooking, intuitive gardening. And those are things that without the hands-on, it's pretty hard to teach. So that's why I think what you're doing is really important.
I think so too. And I think we get just hung up on thinking that we have to know what we're doing, and we don't. Just jump in there and try it. You know, most of us are very lucky that we have the benefit of not relying completely on our gardens. Like if the potato harvest doesn't make this year, the family's not going to starve in general. So take the pressure off.
I know.
You know, if you have to go to the grocery store and buy potatoes this year, you are not a failure try again next year. Ask somebody, this is what happened to my potatoes. Why'd this happen? And they'll tell you. They'll help you figure it out. So take the pressure off. You don't have to know what you're doing. You just have to try.
Yes.
Yeah. And so that's a big one for me. And then I think the last misconception is that thinking this is all glamorous. Thinking that this homestead lifestyle is just whimsical. And you're just walking through the garden in long skirts. It's not always pretty.
No, and it's hard because sometimes we think that we don't fit in. I hate wearing dresses and skirts. I don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Why do we do that? I occasionally, like, I have a couple that I am comfortable in, and it makes me feel like I'm a homesteader out here on the prairie. But in general, I'm out there in a ratty t-shirt and gym shorts and no shoes with dirt in my hair. That's what it actually looks like. Yeah. You know, it can be a really beautiful and fulfilling way to live, but it's also really exhausting. And it's easier to go to the grocery store and spend your free time surfing Netflix. It can be easier. But I can say with confidence that I never feel better than when my head hits the pillow after a long day of just working my tail off in the garden and knowing that that has a purpose. You know, it's not just toil for nothing. I'm growing food to feed my family. So there are little pockets of magic in the mundane tasks of like weeding your garden and caring for your animals and cooking a meal that came like completely from your garden. That doesn't happen for me every single day. But when I do, like my husband's a big hunter, when I have a venison steak and potatoes from the garden and this and that, and I sit down, I'm like, oh my gosh, do you see what I did here? I have arrived, but that doesn't always happen. But when you learn to look for those little magical moments, it's very fulfilling. And I think that everybody, you said, you know, you live in a really suburban area, but you still see people with their backyard gardens.
Oh, yeah.
I think that on some level, we all crave a deeper connection with our food and with the earth, even, you know, kind of going along with the seasons. It's warm weather here. We're outside more. I think people just crave that connection to the earth and to our food.
I love it so much. That was beautiful. So I think we're going to leave it at that because we are running low on time, but I want to give you one more. No, this was an excellent conversation. I loved it so much. And I'm definitely feeling inspired to get out of my shell a little bit as we get into the warmer season here and talk to some people. So one more time, where can we find you? One more time, I want you to speak about the conference, where we can find the information on that.
Okay, so I am online as Homegrown Hopes. I have a blog, a YouTube channel, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, and most recently, I have a podcast by the same name. I just kept it all the same across the board. So Homegrown Hopes. And then for the Homestead Conference, it is holistichomesteadconference.com. You can go on that website and we have all of our speakers listed and classes and the schedule. And you can also purchase tickets through that website.
Ah, Caitlin, this was so great. Thank you so much for being here.
Yes.
I was on Caitlin's podcast recently. So make sure after you listen to this episode, wherever you're listening right now, go search Homegrown Hopes and listen to some more of us over there.
Yes. Yeah. We like chatting. Yeah.
Thanks, everyone. Hey, thank you so much for joining me on another episode of the Homestead Challenge podcast. I hope our time together has empowered you to take meaningful steps on your homesteading journey. If you've enjoyed our conversation and found value in today's tips, please take a moment to leave a review on your preferred podcast platform. Your feedback means the world to me and it helps others discover the podcast. Let's keep the conversation going. Connect with me on Instagram. You can find me at Brittany L. Gibson. The link is in the show notes. Share your favorite takeaways from the episode, ask questions, or suggest topics of what you'd like to hear in the future. For an even deeper dive into the homesteading community, join our Facebook group where other suburban homesteading mamas share their experiences, ask questions, and support each other on their unique homesteading journeys. Just search for the Homestead Challenge community on Facebook and request to join. Remember, every small step on your homesteading path is a victory.
Whether you're nurturing plants on your windowsill or mastering the art of sourdough, you're making a difference. Keep at it. Until next time, let's watch our homesteads flourish together.